Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It's amazing, as we are on the cusp of maybe joining phase one of the recovery of our economy here in the state of Nevada, we have all learned, no matter what your business is, that we are going to have to change in this COVID-19 environment, and that includes our higher education. We find that across the country, colleges are closing up. Some are not going to reopen. Also, we find that more students are learning online. Our schools, our major universities and colleges across the nation going to be reopening? And if so, under what conditions? Joining us now, Stephen Silberkraus, a candidate for University Region District 3. And Stephen, first of all, thanks for joining us. Explain for people that maybe they've cast ballots for Regent, but they don't really know what the Board of Regents does. Can you explain what kind of work they do?
Absolutely, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. The Board of Regents is kind of like the board of directors of a company. They hire the chancellor, who would be the CEO. They hire the college presidents, kind of the heads of the divisions. And they set the broad vision and the policies for all eight institutions under NCHI. That's, you know, UNLV, UNR, CSN, Nevada State, DRI, and then Truckee Meadows and Western Nevada and Great Basin. We got a bunch of them. They're all really good.
And explain what it is that you do, though. Do you set policy? Do you set curriculum? What is it essentially that the board does?
Yeah, they set the broad policies that oversee all of the colleges and the universities. They handle the macro budget for NCHI, you know, about $700 million a year. And then most importantly, you know, they're the oversight for the college presidents who handle the day-to-day operations on the actual campuses.
Stephen, a common concern that I hear from a lot of people on the show and off the show is the cost of college these days. What can be done to keep higher education costs down and not burden our young people with huge amounts of education debt?
Oh, that's a fantastic one, Kevin. You know, we need to be more financially conservative. The best thing we can do is help streamline our students' education plans, make sure that they aren't taking classes or wasting dollars on programs that they don't need or ones they might not want. One of the big problems that we've seen is a lot of students will start, you know, in a junior college or in a different school and then transfer to, say, like UNLV. and classes that they've taken that they thought would move them along in their degree end up not transferring over. And so they have to retake a class that might be 90, 95% similar to the one they've already taken, just so that they can get the credits they need to move forward. We really need to, they have something called an articulation agreement. And what that does is it says, if I take this class at, you know, College of Southern Nevada, when I go over to UNLV, I will get my credit for it and I don't have to take another class. And if you can do that, you can cut down on the amount of money our students are spending on classes. That's going to, you know, put dollars in their pocket. And then past that, something that I'd love to see, and I've spoken to some students about, is looking at creating an inspector general inside the NG. We've talked about it for the state through the legislature, and unfortunately that hasn't passed the last few cycles. But there's no reason why NG couldn't have somebody inside that's in there looking for efficiencies, looking for waste, looking for ways to be able to trim some of that fat. I know there have been some really good moves in the last few years to bring agencies under, you know, singular banners and save money in that way. And then lastly, I think one of the biggest ones, and you touched on this when you kind of introduced the subject, is expanding online education. You know, a big cost to delivering college curriculum or college programs is the buildings and the campuses. You know, we've got to build them, we've got to light them, we've got to fill them, we've got to, you know, maintain them, clean them. You know, if we look at somebody like Arizona, they offer an amazing online program for, I believe, close to or over 200 different programs. There's no reason why we couldn't do that along with our traditional on-campus experience. And not only can it be delivered in a less expensive way, but it can also increase access for, you know, the guy that's working on the strip and, you know, can't get to a regular 8 o'clock in the morning class or a 3:30 in the afternoon class. You know, the guy that's working a part-time job, they can actually, you know, schedule their education around their schedule. So they're able to work, they're able to make the money they need, and they can get a cost-effective, high-quality education.
Again, Stephen Silberkraus joining us, the candidate for University Regent District 3. By the way, where is District 3? Give us some idea of the geography.
Sure, it's the southeast side of the valley. So it starts down at the M, you know, St. Rose Parkway and the 15, goes up into Anthem, out down into Henderson, and then curves all the way up all along the east side of the 15 to Fashion Show Mall. And it covers, you know, the airport and UNLV and a good swatch of the southeast.
Stephen, let me ask you, is the with all this COVID-19 stuff going around, and we talked about the online learning, is it possible that we are going to see a sea change in how higher education is delivered to our young people, that maybe we're going to see the bulk of our education be online rather than brick and mortar?
You know, it's interesting. I think you're definitely going to see an increase in online programs. It's one, it's the future. It's an efficient and easy way, and it can be very adaptive for our students. At the same time, there are definitely programs where you have to be in a brick and mortar building with an instructor in front of you. You know, if you're going to medical school or to law school, you kind of need to be there to work any of the scientifics or the trade or technical programs. You got to be in there for labs and for getting your hands on equipment. So those ones, I think there are programs that augment that can be online, but those ones will always be, you know, in the building. But I definitely think a lot of the prerequisites and the early classes could definitely be done that way.
I know in the past, Regent candidates would walk neighborhoods, would hand out flyers, would go to town halls and be talking about the issues of education. This is much different. This is going to be a mail-in ballot. You can't go knocking on doors in neighborhoods. How are you campaigning? How has it changed?
You know, it's a real challenge, I'll tell you. I was out knocking doors before, you know, the crisis started, and very quickly you could see the change in the community, and we drew back, and I shifted to putting out mail and you know, dropping bits of literature for people. I actually changed my walk piece, you know, the card I would give to people, where it told them who I was on the front, but the back was all contact details for the local hospitals and for, you know, CCSD, for student information, and just trying to be of assistance. I think right now people care about who they're going to vote for. People care that there's an election going on, but they also care about making sure that they and their families are safe and have what they need. And honestly, I think most of the candidates that are out there and interacting with people are trying to really give back and to support as much as you can. And that's a big part. And then I think the other thing is really the support you get in the community, you know, having people who line up behind you and kind of give you their endorsement. I think those are going to be key this time because, you know, we can't get to the people in the way we have in the past. And so listening or hearing from trusted people in the community can make a big difference.
Again, Stephen Silberkraus, a candidate for University Regent District 3, joining us live and local now. If the name sounds familiar, it should. He's a former member of the Assembly, and in fact, he was a primary sponsor of the Clark County School District Reorganization Bill. By the way, in looking back on that piece of legislation, some people have been disappointed that maybe it didn't go far enough. It didn't really break up the Clark County School District. It's still essentially the fifth largest school district in the country. Were you happy with that piece of legislation, or did it get watered down in the implementation process?
You know, it was quite a process to get that one through. When we first started, the idea was a traditional breakup. And one of the things that we really wanted to do was make sure that we had a lot of buy-in from everyone to try to make it as successful as possible. And we found that, you know, talking to leaders in education, bringing down people from, you know, from Canada, from here in the U.S., and really researching it, that it looked like the most effective way to do it was with the reorganization as opposed to a breakup. With that being said, we got pushback, you know, all the way along. The law, even to this day, still hasn't been fully implemented in the way it was intended to be. And legally should be. It's, I think there's a lot more that needs to be done, and I definitely would love to keep fighting for that. But with that being said, I think we have seen a lot of success in it as well. We've got parental involvement in our schools with the SOTs, the school organizational teams, where parents and teachers and staff all come together and they work with the principal to actually decide the budget for the school. And they have a real voice in that process. And if they don't like what's going on there, they have an appeals process up through the district. I think there's definitely a lot of good that's come out of it, but we definitely have a lot more to do.
Hey, Stephen, in our final couple of minutes, I want to ask you, as a former member of the legislature, I've talked to Scott Hammond. I've talked to countless members of the legislature, Assembly, State Senate, doesn't matter. They feel like they've been left out of this coronavirus thing and that the governor has taken center stage and has really owned the stage, so to speak. I'm curious if in looking at the role of the legislature, did they have any role whatsoever? Should they have had a role in how we rolled out the stay at home and how we're going to reorganize and get back to work?
That's a great question, Kevin. You know, having been up there, having done the job, I would say that, you know, this has been a unique time, and it's been a big burden for anyone who's in elected office. And the best way to deal with that is to share the load. And I know that you've got legislators who want to be involved, who want to help carry the load, and who honestly know what's going on in their districts. They understand on the ground better because they're there. I think they should have been brought in early on and being a vital part of that, you know, conversation. With that being said, I've got no doubt that you're going to probably see a special session coming up sometime in the near future to deal with all the, you know, financial issues we're going to be having because of this shutdown. And I wish they'd been there to help guide it from day one, not to triage it after the fact.
Stephen, in our final minute, one of the two biggest questions I get off air from people is, who should I vote for on judges and who should I vote for on university regents? If folks want to know more about your candidacy, about your policy positions, where can they go?
Absolutely. They are welcome to go to my website. It's silberkraus.com. That's S-I-L, B as in boy, E-R-K-R-A-U-S.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If there's a way to get a hold of me, I'm probably on it. And I'll even say, you know, the phone I'm on with you right now, the number is 702-900-0998. It's my personal cell. Anybody can call me anytime to talk about any issues they've got.
Give us that cell phone number one more time.
Absolutely. It's 702-900-0998.
Stephen, great to talk to you, and hopefully next time we'll be able to get you in studio after we get the coronavirus thing all done. Thank you so much. Best of luck, my friend.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it, and stay safe.
There you have it. Stephen Silberkraus, candidate for University Regent, District 3, talking about the future of higher education in our state. And I'm going to be honest with you. I honestly believe that this is going to change how we deliver higher education. It's too easy to deliver it online. It's just too simple. On demand. That's the way people want everything. They want their music. They want their movies. They want everything on demand. Why can't we give them higher education? Or is there a role for brick and mortar schools in the next 5 or 10 years? We'll talk about that and more coming up. Live and local now. Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are 5 recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Make sure you prepare with clean water and soap or hand sanitizer and use them often. Avoid close contact with people who are sick, coughing, or sneezing. COVID-19 is transmitted through close personal contact, so keep your distance. Cooperate with response measures instituted by your employer and those recommended by health officials at the federal, state, and local level. practice social distancing, and limit large group interactions. Times like these test our resolve. The strength of our local is what will help forge our city into the future. When the smoke clears, we will stand united. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I just love it. I just love it. When the fake news media gets the gun turned around on them. And it happened yesterday at the White House. Let's go to cut four. This is Kayleigh McEnany. You've heard her on the show, what, 10, 20 times, 50 times, something like that, over the course of the last few years. She is now working as the press secretary for the president. And at yesterday's press brief, they don't have these daily press briefings anymore, except occasionally. And maybe there's a reason. This is a good reason. But I want you to listen to how Kayleigh turned the gun around on the White House press corps. Listen to this.
In a previous life, before you were press secretary, you worked for the campaign. And you made a comment, I believe, on Fox, in which you said, President Trump will not allow the coronavirus to come to this country. Given what has happened since then, obviously, would you like to take that back?
Well, first, let me note, I was asked a question on Fox Business about the president's travel restrictions. I noted what was the intent behind those travel restrictions, which is we will not see the coronavirus come here. We will not see terrorism come here, referring to an earlier set of travel restrictions. I guess I would turn the question back on the media and ask similar questions. Does Vox want to take back that they proclaim that the coronavirus would not be a deadly pandemic? Does the Washington Post want to take back that they told Americans to get a grip? The flu is bigger than the coronavirus. Does the Washington Post likewise want to take back that our brains are causing us to exaggerate the threat of the coronavirus? Does the New York Times want to take back that fear of the virus may be spreading faster than the virus itself? Does NPR want to take back that the flu was a much bigger threat than the coronavirus? And finally, once again, the Washington Post, would they like to take back that the government should not respond aggressively to the coronavirus? I'll leave you with those questions, and maybe you'll have some answers in a few days.
Yep.
Wow. By the way, this is great stuff. The Chefs for Vegas food drive, they're going to have another food giveaway coming up today, 12 noon at the Walnut Community Center. That's 3075 North Walnut Road in Las Vegas. And they've had so much success before, they're going to do it again. Today, 12 noon, the Walnut Community Center, 3075 North Walnut Road in Las Vegas. Stick around. We're going to talk with attorney Craig Mueller. There is a lot of legal aspects to the coronavirus. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up live and local now.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are rallying as the number of new applicants for unemployment benefits continued to decline last week. And Neiman Marcus, the 112-year-old luxury department store chain, filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection today, becoming the latest large retailer to seek a court restructuring amid the coronavirus pandemic. Earlier this week, J. Crew filed for bankruptcy. Neiman said it expects to emerge from bankruptcy by this coming fall. And Kohl's says it has reopened stores in four states on Monday with restrictions and will will open locations in an additional 10 states on May the 11th. Shares of JetBlue were spiking over 6%. The airline was the first carrier to raise much-needed cash by selling credit card miles in advance, raising $150 million in March through a deal with Barclays, its credit card provider. The airline says other carriers have held discussions about selling miles in bulk to bring in some dough, but haven't pulled the trigger. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Three Barsky, invested in you.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's a first case of coronavirus at the White House. Fox's John Decker's there.
One of the president's personal valets has tested positive for the coronavirus. Valets typically work very closely to the president and the first family. White House spokesman Hogan Gidley saying in a statement, the president and the vice president have since tested negative for the virus and they remain in great health.
Fox has learned the infected person, a member of the Navy, was last at the White House last weekend and came down sick Tuesday night or yesterday morning. The Supreme Court throws out two Bridgegate convictions, ruling the corruption was not a federal crime.
The unanimous decision tosses the convictions of Bridget Kelly and Bill Baroni, who were former aides to New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. They were convicted of fraud and conspiracy, accused of creating a massive traffic jam to punish a New Jersey mayor who didn't endorse Christie.
Fox's Hanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Since that last checkered flag.
Second win of the season for Joey Logano.
It's been 2 months.
9,000 RPM.
8 days.
Deep time.
17 hours.
Seven.
And 22 minutes.
Six.
We've been waiting.
6 weeks.
To hear those four words.
4 minutes. 3.
Jay! Start!
Two.
Your!
One.
Engine!
Ignition.
NASCAR is back. Live from Darlington. Sunday, May 17th on Fox.
Fox Nation presents A Grateful Nation. Now, more than ever, it's time for us to say thank you to America's military heroes, past and present. All month long, hear stories of courage, honor, and sacrifice from the men and women who fought on the front lines and continue to keep our country safe. Fox Nation presents A Grateful Nation. Now, for a limited time, receive a free signed copy of Pete Hegseth's new book with the purchase of a one-year subscription to Fox Nation.
Investments in securities involves the risk of loss. The following is a far too common tale of investing in annuities. A successful couple invested a large portion of their savings in annuities, thinking they were a safe way to guarantee a dependable income stream no matter what the market did. But it didn't take long for them to regret their decision. They were locked into low returns, faced potential tax consequences, and that they couldn't get out of their annuities without paying huge penalties. They were stuck, and so was their money. Suddenly, their retirement hopes and dreams were in danger. But it didn't have to happen to them, and it doesn't have to happen to you. You can avoid the annuity trap. Here's one way. Get the free report, Annuity Insights, your guide to better understanding annuities, by calling 1-800-304-5558. Written by Forbes columnist and money manager Ken Fisher's firm, this powerful report could help save you from major financial heartache, and it's offered today for free. If you have an annuity or are considering one, claim your free annuities guide today. Hurry, free copies are limited. Call now, 1-800-304-5558. 1-800-304-5558.
Well, my husband is a retired sergeant from the Air Force.
Well, he's was in the Army for 14 years and an MP.
23 million veterans, they're heroes who need our help.
Well, I'm here because my daughter has had her third surgery for cancer.
We've had some difficulties, so we're here quite some time. We're going on to 3 weeks.
When our heroes' families need help, they turn to Fisher House.
We learned about the Fisher House through the doctor, and we were so grateful because who has 3 weeks to be able to come and stay at a hotel?
Fisher House is a safe, free place to stay for families of wounded warriors and veterans receiving treatment at VA and military medical centers.
Fisher House is not only a home away from home, it was like family away from family.
Thank you, Fisher House.
Thank you, Fisher House.
Helping military and veterans families. Fisher House at fisherhouse.org. Sometimes having family close by is a hero's best medicine.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Love her madly, don't you need her badly?
It's live and local now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. The last time we talked to Craig Mueller, he was getting set to fly to, I think, Florida or someplace on the East Coast, pick up his boat, and go sit on his boat for about a week. Maybe he's gotten that out of his system. We have to hope so. Joining us now, Craig Mueller, our buddy from Mueller and Associates, who joins us. Craig, how you been? Did they finally get you off that boat?
That was a scurrilous lie. I didn't stay on my boat for a week. I stayed on my boat for 2 weeks.
Oh my God!
I demand a retraction. You must tell the truth.
Oh my God! I love that. So what was it like to get away from the legal wars and be able to just float and just enjoy yourself?
Well, there's always something to be fixed on a boat, so it's not just about enjoying myself. But it was wonderful. As a preview of retirement, it was a pretty nice look at retirement, but I'm not ready for that quite yet.
I've been wanting to ask you this for about 7 or 8 weeks, and this involves the whole nature of stay at home for Nevada and all of the quarantining that's going on and the contact tracing and things like that, and whether there's a constitutional issue in play here. We have seen some people across the country try to go to court to get some relief. Can you talk a little bit about the constitutional issues, what you've been seeing, not just here in Nevada, but around the country?
Yeah, it's not even debatable. This is completely, utterly unconstitutional, period. It's not even discussable. Now, this epidemic is different from a pandemic, is noticeably different in that it has a huge latency period. There's a 10 to 14 days from the time you're infected to if you're going to show symptoms, which a lot of us fortunately do not, and you can show symptoms up to 2 weeks later. The Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, a First Amendment, all those rights are completely being impinged. In normal times with normal diseases, the government gets a lot of latitude, at least until it knows what it's doing in public policy. The government has some emergency powers. And that's what our ancestors have worked out and worked out for a couple hundred years. But right now, the governor of Nevada is completely out of line on several meaningful points.
Why? Can I ask, though, with all the really smart people in this state legally, why hasn't somebody taken the governor to court?
Funny you should mention that, Kevin. I am literally on the road over from Pahrump. I just about an hour ago filed a lawsuit against the governor and seeking injunctive relief on behalf of a salon owner in Nye County. So there are people taking the governor to task. Now, in complete candor, you know, lawyers are famous for only looking at both one sides of an issue. But in complete candor, for at least a little while early on, it wasn't exactly sure what we were dealing with, and probably caution was the better approach. But it became very, very clear very early on that the mathematical models were incorrect. This was not, and we have not seen explosive growth or exponential growth, geometric growth, of this virus anywhere in the American West. It didn't happen in Las Vegas. It didn't happen in California. And the reason appears to be that this virus was already present in the Valley back in January, which is something that the authorities have now conceded. So it appears that the shutdown was unnecessary and was the classic case of closing the barn door after the cows have gone out of the barn. If he had done this in the second week in January, it might have been effective. But right now, we have a very large exposure or spread of this virus. It's present almost everywhere, and almost nobody's getting sick from it. So the governor's lockdown is increasingly, obviously, unnecessary, and he has gone from being protecting the public health to being a despot.
Now, let me ask you, let's be honest here. You've seen the news conferences. I've seen the news conferences. The governor pounds the lectern and says, people are dying.
Is that
a legal answer to your lawsuit?
That's palatable manure. Now, I grew up in Nevada, 50 years here, and I have never once in my entire life had a public official in the state of Nevada stand up and saying, entirely too many people are dying from influenza. Never heard it. The subject's never come up. we now have a death rate that's actually half of influenza. And in return, to stop that, we have committed economic suicide. As we're listening now, there's going to be hundreds, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people unemployed. Now, this was unnecessary, it was draconian, and there's literally no reason for it now. I'll give the governor his due. Come middle of March, when the experts were predicting a geometric spread, wait and see. Maybe caution was appropriated, but it was very obvious within a week or two that there was not going to be geometric spreading. This wasn't happening. The hospitals all cleared out hundreds of floors, hundreds of beds to make available for COVID patients. And guess what? They didn't show up, and the nurses got laid off. Hospitals are actually operating under capacity right now. We have vacant rooms in every hospital in this state, period. There is no emergency.
So what are you asking of the governor, and will that change depending on what he says at 3 o'clock this afternoon as he takes us to phase one?
Well, it depends on what he announces. Now, he's just making this up as he goes along. Now, and that is clear to almost everybody. He's just making this up as he goes along. Right now, we have people who aren't working, who are stuck at home, who have no signs of the virus and no indication that they're ever going to have any signs of the virus, and it's time to get back to work. Now, here's the practical problem. And our legislature did some kind of dubious things. They created under NRS, Nevada Revised Statutes 414, Chapter 414, I think it's 060 or 070. They gave the governor the authority to declare an emergency. And here's where he gets into trouble. The definition of an emergency is a situation where life and property is imperiled in a locality where the local authorities do not have the ability to prepare or protect the people. And that's the definition of emergency. Now, there's no emergency. Nowhere in the state has any hospital or facility been overwhelmed with patients. There's not a hospital, not a parking lot, triage center. We have not seen anybody overwhelmed with patients. Number two, the death rate is actually half of influenza. And God bless them, I do not want to minimize this. This is a real thing. There are people who have this virus. And God bless the front healthcare and the frontline workers. But the reality is the death rate here is nearly identical, with a few exceptions, nearly identical to influenza. Now, we can't shut our economy down. We're, $50, $60 billion already in lost tourist trade. The governor's got a $680 million budget deficit he's got to close. Now, this is insanity. It's a panic. It's literally like a medieval plague panic. Now, we've got to get back to work. The governor's got to give up these emergency powers. Now, additionally, one of the things that we're arguing in our lawsuit that we just filed is the governor has the ability to declare an emergency. Guess who has the ability to end the emergency?
The legislature? No,
if only, Kevin. The legislature or the governor. That's it. So we've basically, the legislature gave the governor the power to give himself dictatorial powers, and then he gets to decide when he gives them back. That's, it's just about that bad. Now, I've got this all laid out in my brief that we just put on file. But, if he continues to exercise emergency powers, he's acting outside the Constitution of the state of Nevada. Now, I this has got to end. We've got to get going back to normal. We've got to get some sanity in our public policy. And we've got to do something that makes some sense for Nevada.
I am assuming the courts are closed. How soon can you get in front of a judge?
Well, that's why I'm sitting out in the parking lot right now, because I just drove over to Prump this morning. I'm trying to get an order shortening time, and we got to get the governor served with the lawsuit.
Wow. Let me just ask you, because I've got a limited amount of time, and there are a whole bunch of questions related to the COVID-19. For instance, employee rights during this time. We see people that are essentially just waiting for the hangman to wander into town. I guess my question is, what employee rights are there, and have they been dissipated by this emergency situation?
I, as you know, I do personal injury litigation, and I do criminal work, and I get involved in some political disputes. I do not have a great command of employee-employer relationships. I do know that the employer cannot put you at unnecessary risk. Now, the argument would be, well, you know, you knew somebody was going to come in with this virus, and I don't want to be there, you know, but that's a kind of a workman's comp sort of claim. Is it an occupational hazard? Now, if the governor and his staff certifies it safe, I guess the employer will be well within his right to ask you to come back. But that's not my bailiwick.
Let me ask you about tenants' rights. And we've seen the governor has spoken on this. You can't toss somebody out forbearance on different debts. But at some point, at the end of this food chain, somebody is going to be on the hook for all this money. Whether it's $1,000 a month a rental payment or a mortgage payment, somebody's on the hook though, aren't they? At the very end of the day,
absolutely. The governor has no authority to interfere with contractual property rights between two private parties. Now, what he did was very clever. He didn't interfere with anybody's contractual property rights. He just made it illegal or directed the courts not to accept eviction complaints. Now, the reality is the money is still going to be owed, and if you come into court and say, well, I didn't pay April and May because the governor said I didn't have to, you're going to find yourself homeless. Now, the second shoe on this catastrophe has not even been dropped yet. It's going to be very, very unpleasant in another month or so when someone finally takes the governor to court on his declaration, and hundreds of thousands of people are going to find out that they are facing homelessness and no meaningful jobs or prospects of getting the rent paid. Now, the foolishness of what has been done here cannot be overstated. This was not a public policy. It was not a public health crisis that needed this level of response.
Again, Craig Mueller joining us from Mueller & Associates. He is suing the governor of the state of Nevada. We'll talk a little bit more about that but before we end. I know that I was supposed to go to jury duty on April 4th and then learned, no, I'm sorry, we don't need you because we're closed. What is getting done in the court system right now?
Next to nothing. We are here having hearings on criminally. We are having hearings on detainers, people getting arrested. Almost everybody short of murderers and rapists and robbers are getting released with court dates pending. Civil cases, a couple of judges are hearing civil cases on oral and telephone arguments. I did a preliminary hearing on a criminal case on Monday. So there's a little bit getting done, but by and large, on the whole, almost nothing's getting done.
Wow. And when can we start getting, I'm sure I'm going to get some sort of notice from the courts. When will we start with jury trials and things like that again? I mean, how soon can we do that?
Well, the current plan announced is that they're going to go back to full functioning on the 18th of May. Now, as you pointed out, the governor has a press conference, and he has not hesitated to change his plans. So we'll see what he announces at 3 o'clock today, as you pointed out. But right now, it's the 18th of May.
I want to ask you, because you brought up the governor and you're suing the governor, on balance, knowing that these are uncharted waters, what do you think of the job the governor's done?
In early March, where he was being presented with conflicting and alarming information, that forecast of 2 million dead was startling, to say the least. I don't have any complaints with the governor taking immediate action to shut things down or to do something to prevent that. However, knowing that what I just did was light a fuse on a whole bunch of misery for my citizens, I would have watched it very carefully. By the middle of March, I think I put it on my Facebook post, it was 17th and 19th of March, where it was very obvious that the model was inaccurate. We were not seeing geometric growth. We were not seeing geometric growth, and we were not seeing a wave of cases overtaking our hospitals. And the hospitals did their best to prepare for the wave that never materialized. By then, at that point, I differ from the governor's handling of the matter. When you knew that the model was wrong and you weren't seeing a geometric growth, you're having slow, linear growth in cases, and you're not getting overwhelmed by them, then at that point, you need to come up with a better plan. Maybe go with the Swiss or the Swedish model. Hey, everyone, why don't you wear masks stay 6 feet away from each other, be careful out there, but go about your business. But now this idea that we needed another 2 weeks in quarantine and that we're had almost no economic activity for 6 weeks, this is going to be felt in Nevada for decades. This is not going to come back easily or quickly.
Again, Craig Mueller joining us from Mueller & Associates, and a lot of people asking the question, what's going to happen with tort reform? Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, says the next stimulus bill will have to have tort reform to protect businesses. How much protection should we give businesses? I mean, if the governor releases us this afternoon and I go to get my hair cut and I end up contracting the coronavirus, can I sue that that hair salon, that massage therapy place? How much protection do they need?
Well, there's a couple practical problems here. When the last great influenza pandemics went through, the technology to track where exactly got the virus from didn't exist. You know, you came home and a few days later you felt a little peaked and you were sick with the flu. Now, as a practical matter, I'm not so sure that tort reform is really needed other than in the general sense, because people, you know, how are you going to prove where you got it from, especially with a 14-day latency? And, you know, that you're going to expect to go out and live in a sterile environment, no business can guarantee you that. That's unrealistic. Now, the good news is it's getting to be summertime, and this virus has got only about a 2 or 3 hour life in UV. If you put it out in the air, it's dead within just a couple hours. It does, however, linger on metal surfaces for 2 or 3 days, apparently. So, if McConnell wants to do tort reform, I guess that makes some sense, but I personally don't see that you're going to be able to prove who gave you the virus in the first place. So, I'm not sure it's necessary.
I know that with the courts, for all intents and purposes, closed for business, people still have legal needs. If they want to reach out to you, Craig, how do they do it?
Certainly. Give me a call at 702-382-1200, and we have been open to take calls and help people through the entire shutdown. So we're available, and I've got a lawyer standing by if you need help today.
And if you get any news on your lawsuit against the governor, will you keep us posted, please?
Absolutely. I'll stop a copy of the complaint and the injunction by your studio, and then I'll, as soon as I got a date, I'll give you a call.
That'll be great. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Be safe.
Nice talking to you, Kevin.
Craig Mueller from Mueller & Associates joining us, and he's suing the governor. I did not know that going in. He is suing the governor for what he views as actions that violate the state constitution. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you sick of the do-nothing Congress? I am. That's why I'm supporting retired United States Air Force Major and Bronze Star recipient Sam Peters for Nevada's 4th Congressional District. Sam's not a career politician. He's not part of the D.C. swamp, and he's a real conservative. He's a local Nevada business owner who's active in the community and a man who knows how to get things done. He knows what it means to sign the front and the back of a paycheck. And after more than 20 years in the Air Force, he also knows the bureaucracy that is our federal government. As Sam says, to fix the problem, you've got to understand the problem. And you can bet Sam understands the problems. Let's send Sam Peters to represent us in Washington. He'll get real results on building the wall, securing our borders, reforming Congress, and finally balancing the budget. Join me in supporting Sam Peters by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's Sam Peters, number 4, congress.com.
I'm Sam Peters, and I approve this message, paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Vote Silver Cross for Regent. Vote Silver Cross for Regent. Vote Silver Cross for Regent. He's the right man for you. Vote Silver Cross for Regent. Yes, Silver Cross for Regent. Vote Silver Cross for Regent. He's the right man for you.
Hi, I'm Stephen Silver Cross, candidate for Nevada Regent. This year's primary is an all-mail-in ballot, so be sure to keep your eyes out for yours in the mail. And remember to vote Silver Cross for Regent.
Vote Silver Cross for Regent. Yes, Silver Cross for Regent. Vote Silver Cross for Regent. He's the right man for you.
Paid for by Friends for Stephen Silver Cross.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Psychery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
My apologies for not getting to your calls in this segment. We normally go to calls in a segment, but I wanted to get that information out that the governor is being sued, and that Craig Mueller from Mueller & Associates, you've heard him on the show many, many times. He's kind of our go-to guy for legal stuff, and he's suing the governor. The governor did things that were in violation of our state constitution. That's pretty serious stuff, folks. Tomorrow we'll tee it up again, I promise. We'll have highlights from the governor's press conference. He's going to speak at 3 o'clock this afternoon and tell us what and when phase one will begin. Can I get a pedicure, a manicure, a haircut, a massage, and a good meal indoors? Can I do that? Dine in? We'll talk about it tomorrow. Till then, I'm Kevin Wall. Make the most of the rest of your day. Live and local, now.
Last night I heard the letters land, and so I wish that I could stay. Before the thing could answer me, well, someone came and took the lamp away.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. But boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Winchester, Las Vegas, 790. Talk now. Talk that rocks.